Then he looked up at the mouser with a broad, ingenuous smile. 60-60, he suggested. The mouser hesitated, sheathed his dirk, and rapped it out. A deal. Pages 11 and 12. This just perfectly captures the uneasy alliance that exists between party members in a typical D&D session. Sure, occasionally groups work out some sort of rationale for why a random assortment of good-looking adventuring types from all walks of life might come together and strike off into the wilds in search of excitement and loot, but mostly they don't. You might say that these player characters find each other to be inexplicably familiar, and even when they get into trouble due to how they end up working at cross purposes at times, there's nevertheless something strangely civilized about their relationship, often in a way that is completely at odds with whatever rough cultures they supposedly hail from. This is simply how things work at the tabletop. And no, there's nothing in the rulebooks that really nail this down as a feature either. People just seem to intuit that this is how things ought to be done. Of course, it's also hilarious that two iconic swords and sorcery characters coincidentally meet when both of them are attempting to kill the exact same group of thieves and then take their stuff. It only makes Fritz Lieber's anticipation of coming trends in hobby gaming that much more delicious. But this gets better, because check this out. Now, how do we get into the damn place? Vaffer demanded in a hoarse whisper. Scout Murder Alley for a back window that can be forced. You've got prize in that sack, I trow. Or try the roof. You're a roof man. I know already. Teach me the art. I know trees and mountains, snow, ice, and bare rock. See this wall here? He backed off from it, preparing to go up in a rush. Steady on, Fafford, the mouser said, keeping his hand against the big young man's chest. We'll hold the roof in reserve, likewise all walls, and I'll take it on trust you're a master climber. As to how we get in, we walk straight through that doorway. He frowned. Tap and hobble, rather. Come on while I prepare us. As he drew the skeptically grimacing Fafford back down Death Alley until all Cheap Street was again cut off from view, he explained, "We'll pretend to be beggars, members of their guild, which is but a branch of the Thieves' Guild and houses with it, or at any reports in the new beggar masters at Thieves' House. We'll be new members who've gone out by day, so it'll not be suspected that the night beggar master and any night watchman know our looks." "But we don't look like beggars," Fafford protested. "Beggars have awful sores and limbs all a-twist or lacking altogether." "That's just what I'm going to take care of now." Pages 72 and 73. This is really the meat and potatoes of almost every D&D session I've ever run. There's always this thing that the players have to do, and the players invariably come up with these insane plans to accomplish it. I don't even have to do anything, really. As soon as they perceive the objective, they're hashing out elaborate workarounds for every conceivable problem. They sometimes get so into working this sort of thing out that they'll brush me off when I suggest that we should maybe get started on, you know, actually playing the game. And the thing about these schemes is that they're almost always about something that the rules hardly even address at all. I mean, how can you know what a monster is really going to say when the players interrogate him? What's going to happen when the players leave a ludicrous commemorative plaque by the dungeon entrance and then overhear a non-player party arguing over what it means? How do you adjudicate combat when the players are on a slippery surface between boiling mud pots with all the players tied together with a single 50-foot length of rope? And that's just the random stuff that comes up in the course of the game. The things that players come up with once this other stuff comes out are even crazier. For example, what is going to happen when the players send in a possessed hill giant and an invisible thief into a banquet hall so that their magic user can take over the hill giant's chieftain's mind in order to distract a company of drunken monsters with a speech while the rest of the party moves into position to unleash fireballs, poisonous snakes, and insect swarms, all in perfectly optimized positions on the tabletop battle mount?